Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Finger Motion Inc. is a mobile data specialist company licensed in China to provide mobile payment and recharge platform solutions to the massive and ever-growing Chinese economy. Finger Motion seamlessly manages mobile recharge data, subscription plans, and more. Finger Motion Inc. Trading symbol FNGR. Web address fingermotion.com. The preceding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Germanicus is here. We're reflecting upon the events of Thursday night's debate in the 21st century between the President of the United States and the former President of the United States. We're reflecting on the surprise evidenced by the media at the conduct of the President of the United States, at his inability to be coherent about matters of policy. There were not a great number of foreign policy questions, but the ones that did come up pertained to the conflicts in Eurasia. And the one we're focusing on right now is Ukraine. The Allies were watching as well. I read the headline from London, Germanicus. European allies hope Democrats replace Biden to prevent Trump victory. Politicians and diplomats fear return of the former president could badly hurt U.S. support for Ukraine. So we have a double twist here. They're not cheering Mr. Biden, but they're not cheering Mr. Trump either. So they're looking for Mr. Biden to be replaced, and whoever that replacement is, to defeat Mr. Trump. So there's a double twist there. All right, you're speaking for the Allies now. And by that I mean NATO, I mean the EU, going through some tough times now because the EU must deal with the fact that the so-called far-right parties are rising. One party, the National Rally in Paris, has won a huge, huge victory over Macron. And you will remember, all of you, remember that President Macron of France was speaking of intervention in Ukraine with French troops. That was before this vote. Other so-called far-right parties are looking to the French success and looking to bring it to their constituents in Spain, in Germany, in the Netherlands, in Sweden. Germanicus, how do the Allies regard Thursday night? What do they do with Mr. Biden?
They're as panicked as the ancien regime types in the Imperial City in Washington and the other centers of blue power at this time. But they have as much as the American elites the problem of a rebellious society. European society is just as tired of elite high-handedness and authoritarian rule and feel just as betrayed by their leaders as do the majority of Americans. And the result is that the worries now have to be more on their future and the disaster they're facing in terms of their electorates, even than the Ukraine war. And the Ukraine war is increasingly, and I mean, now we're in a time of days in which the realization that that war is gone and gone for a multiplicity of converging vectors. There is no alternative to Europe but to hope, and of course, hope is not a strategy, right? But to be able to start thinking about how to deal with and accommodate a Trump administration. And the reality, of course, is that Mr. Trump, as president again, it would in all probability not withdraw from NATO. NATO is too necessary to American standing. What he would do is ask them to spend more money, and they've already agreed to that as a result of the war in Ukraine. So there is absolutely no reason why there should be a crisis in the alliance. And in fact, if Trump were to bring about an end to the war, that would also lower the temperature a lot. I mean, right now, the Europeans are planning on building something equivalent to Hitler's Atlantic Wall. They're investing in fortifications from the Baltics down to Poland. And this is an indication of stark paranoia. And one thing to end that paranoia would be a new American administration that was calmer and that was focused on ending wars rather than whipping them up and escalating them. And I think in a very short period of time, Europe would find itself feeling a true sense of relief, which seems paradoxical, and their elites cannot possibly imagine, but that would actually be the likely course. And there is, with that course, the prospect of renewed Russian energy deliveries and a normalization, which is desperately needed by economies like Germany's, which has seen its powerful manufacturing sector decline as a result of this war. So I can't imagine any kind of a negative outcome to a Trump victory. And yet, at the same time, I can see much distress if somehow Mr. Biden were to win and a Democrat administration would forge ahead in the war against Russia. We've reached a point now, and I think our allies in Europe and in the Far East, as they used to call it, should recognize the fact that the current American administration is committed toward global war. They are fire-breathing when it comes to Russia and are all but engaged in direct conflict with Russia. They are also on the cusp of being sucked into a war with Iran. And the China prospect is constantly being flogged as the next great conflict that America will inevitably have to face. And this is, in effect, a world war in the making, and it's been done for domestic political payoff, and that payoff has not worked. And so the best thing to do now, both for the country and the world, would be to move into a new mindset in which we look at China and Russia not as inveterate enemies and inevitable evil that we must fight, but rather we begin to move in a different direction.
The allies don't have a great deal of time. You know, Germanicus, their electricity costs, their power costs are wearying and threatening to the status quo ante. The reason the right, far-right parties are doing well is they have to live with the energy absence since the war. What is a person in Paris, what do they get out of the fight in Ukraine? What does a person in Sweden get out of it? Very little when they ask themselves, when they say, you know, really, let's think about us. What do I get from this?
The entire agenda of the European elite left, especially in its very aggressive Green program, has brought terrible suffering on Europeans in terms of energy prices. And that has only been reinforced and intensified by the war in Ukraine. And the Well, just for example, the move by the government in the Netherlands to destroy its agriculture for the sake of emissions control created an instant rebellion among Dutch farmers. And, you know, the Netherlands is the second largest exporter of food, you know, by euro totals in the world. It is a remarkable truth that the Netherlands is one of the great producers in the world. And yet the government has been pushing a policy that would destroy their most productive economic sector. And of course, they were thrown out in an election. And this will continue across all of Europe until government is sane again. And I you know, don't know how that will happen, because there's such an effort on the part of the EU as an extra layer of elite control inserted over the people, that they've fought tooth and nail to prevent that from happening, but now it is happening. So it seems as though a shift is in the air, and it also will seem, I think, in historical hindsight, that manufacturing the war in Ukraine was the worst decision that this administration has ever made, not only for America, but all of its allies as well.
I remind both of us, the first American VIP into Ukraine. Never mind. You know what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I remind even myself, however, the first American of VIP status into Georgia was the putative vice president at the time. It was still campaign season. And immediately afterwards, Mr. Biden visited Georgia, came the bid to be vice president, immediately afterwards.
Right.
And we could pursue Mr. Biden and Ukraine. That's been worked over. They managed to turn it into reason to impeach Mr. Trump.
Yes, and that's why...
That's entertaining. Come on, Germanicus. That's
yeah, but that's why Mr. Zelensky knows the jig is up if Mr. Trump wins. I mean, it's pretty clear, and he is essentially, the look on his face now in the last interview that he gave just a couple days ago, it's etched in his face. He sees what is coming.
Well, when he rings the White House, nobody picks up.
Well, that's true, too.
I'm sure Mr. Trump could do better than his brief on Ukraine, but he's got a lot of other things to do. Settling Ukraine is going to be simple. I guess he'll get the Nobel Prize for it, don't you agree?
Well, I don't know that the Nobel Prize Committee is ready to go that far yet, but perhaps they will be forced to, just like the blue elites are being forced to.
Oh, I forgot to ask. Because it's difficult. How did Beijing see it?
Beijing is in a position now where it can begin to, it has an opening, I should say, to start real discussions with Taiwan. Because Taiwan knows, given the incredible debacle that Ukraine has become, that either Taiwan will be put in the position of Ukraine and thus faced with its own destruction as a proxy of the United States, or it will be deserted by the United States, which is at the moment too weak to pursue a more reassuring strategy with Taiwan, and has failed, really, to do anything substantive to increase its military capabilities. And so I think the longer-term result will be that Taiwan will be more willing to make some accommodations to China, and China will then be in a better position to lower the heat. And there is thus some positive news from the Ukraine debacle by way of indirection. I'm more worried, actually, and so are some others, that the flashpoint now has moved south of Taiwan to the shoals off the Philippines. Yeah. And so I think the real problem China faces is being too aggressive in its demands for territorial seas that go beyond all understandings in the international law of the sea. And that's going to be a flashpoint between China and the Philippines.
You know that she has problems with loyalty in the PLA. And that is going to... He removed the defense minister and put the admiral in, who had some familiarity with the South China Sea. But they don't... He's made a lot of changes in the military that suggest he hasn't got a firm grip on it.
Possibly, although a lot of the changes he made needed to be made. There was a lot of dead wood in the military.
Oh, sure. Corruption is everywhere. It's a state within a state. I understand that.
But you're right. It undoubtedly angers some. And so he will have to persevere and be tough and outmaneuver.
If he had conducted himself in Beijing the way Biden just conducted himself in Georgia, in Atlanta, what would we think?
Mr. Xi?
Yeah.
Would we
expect the other wolves to take him down right away?
Oh, the replacement of failing leaders is completely systematized in the CCP. I mean, they know how to do that, and they've been consistently pretty good at it, and much better than the Soviets ever were, because Soviets, of course, were ruined by Mr. Stalin. But the Chinese have a pretty efficient pathway to succession. I would say it looks a lot more efficient and effective than the place the U.S. is at now.
Let's turn to our Roman Empire. We've been through this before. And I note that the foreign minister of Poland is commenting in a fashion. He writes, Marcus Aurelius was a great emperor, but he messed up his succession by passing the baton to his feckless son, whose disastrous rule started Rome's decline. It's important to manage one's ride into the sunset. This is Radek Sikorski, the foreign minister of Poland. When we come back, Tiberius and Caligula. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Germanicus is here with me. We're by the Thames. We're enjoying ourselves on a summer's evening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.